Now, 42% of marriages end in divorce. And the aim of the no-fault divorce, which was introduced on the 6th of April in England and Wales, is to reduce the conflict when they do. We've been talking on Woman's Hour about life after divorce. And a woman that we're calling Amina, like our reporter Henrietta Harrison, has been through it and wanted to tell her story. They met at Amina's home.
It hadn't been good for a long time, but I was in it for the kids to make sure that the kids had a stable life and that they were happy. But it was clear that life at home was getting very difficult for the kids too. But really, the straw that broke the camel's back was me getting evidence that perhaps he had spent the night in a hotel with another woman. And I, you know, suspected that sort of thing for a long time. But suddenly having that there, and I thought, my goodness me, like, how many more signs do I need that this isn't right anymore? So that was it. Honestly, in that moment, I was done.
Sure you don't want some stir fry?
Oh, well, actually, it just smells so good. Do you mind?
No, not at all. The broccoli's a bit overcooked.
Do you like being mistress of your own house?
Yeah, definitely. This is my domain.
Amina used to have one of those wow kitchens, you know, a hob in the centre of the granite island, all of that. Now her kitchen is tiny and she loves it. She moved out of the family home in 2020 after a 3-year divorce process for both of us, when the toxicity of a broken marriage started to spill out and affect the children, it was over.
The silliest thing would trigger a big row. And so what was supposed to be happy family day would turn into slamming doors and me trying to get the kids upstairs and tears. And it looked like we lived a happy, busy, bustly, blessed, privileged life. But the moment the front door was shut, it was really difficult being together. I'd been so blind, actually, to how much it was affecting the kids, because I believed that we needed to be together for the kids. When it did become apparent, my son was suffering from mental health. I took him to get counselling and she called us in and we had conversations. And that was a moment where I thought, goodness me, this is really hurting my boy. You know, I didn't realise that my boy's problems were associated with that, you know. And then I spoke to my girl too. And when I first gave her a space to speak, all the stuff came out. And I think it all just sort of came to a head within 3 months. And then I found that piece of paper. And then it was like, what am I doing? This needs to end.
Were you still having sex in your marriage?
No. And sex was a bargaining chip for him. I loved him. I wanted to have sex with him. He didn't want... No, I was not...
He withheld sex from
you. He withheld sex, yeah. And there were all sorts of reasons why, but really the reason was he knew that it tortured me. But he was okay. So he must have been getting something somewhere, right?
He was having sex elsewhere, you think?
He must have been. I mean, I can't imagine he wasn't.
Why did you want to share your story with Woman's Hour? What was the motivation?
If someone hears my story and thinks that sounds like what I am going through and realizes that you don't have to put up with it and all this stuff that you've put up with, it's true and I feared it and it happened that the divorce process itself was very difficult, but you've been in training for this because you've been suffering and bearing and enduring for the longest time. But this time you're suffering and enduring and bearing for yourself. And there is light at the end of the tunnel. It can happen that you can be free of drama, of worry, of dread. Free of dread is such an amazing thing. And it is possible and you're allowed and you can dream of it and you should have it. So don't feel like there is no choice. There is always a choice.
lawyers do get a bad rap, don't they? I would get off the phone from my lawyer and I would have been on the phone for, say, half an hour, and I'd get off the phone thinking, oh my goodness, I've spent more in the last half an hour than I earn in a day. But you feel like your lawyer was worth every penny.
Absolutely. She was attentive and detail focused and had a clarity of mind, which I needed in those spaces where I didn't have clarity of mind. She was really reassuring. She had a full comprehensive idea of the protocols and systems that were in place that I could use to protect me. He was a foe. When you're faced with a foe like that, you need a really good army behind you. And she was an amazing general.
Did you speak about how you were feeling, about your emotions with her, or was it all very much paperwork, finances?
Quite a lot of the difficulty in the beginning was the emotional turmoil. So in the beginning, for sure, there was a lot of talk around emotions, and there's a lot of reassurance from her that this happens, this was expected, this can be managed, and it will be managed. For me, it wasn't phone calls, it was emails, a certain number of pounds per email. So over time, as my emotions calmed down and I became less responsive to every provocation, you know, I started counting the emails I did send out. But everything I got back from her was absolutely worth it. I needed it. I needed in the moment to be reassured that this big task I had embarked on, I wasn't free falling. I was supported.
How supportive have your family been?
Oh, I mean, incredibly. They couldn't have been more supportive. It was very difficult for them. They loved him too. He was very much a member of their family, I would say. We were loved equally. My ex was a very charming man and he cultivated relationships with my parents. So it was had been difficult for me to let on to them quite how difficult he was with me. My dad was immediately, well, no, this needs to end. If that's what you need, nobody needs to put up with that.
So your dad immediately had your back and was loyal to you.
Immediately. He was extraordinary. I'm overcome. He couldn't have been a better support.
Your mum found the divorce difficult.
Yes. I think it was a much more difficult, bitter pill for her to swallow. I'm not trying to suggest that she didn't support me. That's not what I'm saying at all. Not to say that divorce is not allowed in Islam, but it's not about Islam, it's about the community. You know, there's a difference. It's difficult for my mum because it's not something that she wanted for me either. The tropes that we have about the sad old spinster was not something that she wanted for me, but also because the community directed their attention at her and she had to bat them off. You know, in a moment in space where she was also in grief and she was also trying to make sense. What she needed from me was for me to help her reframe her experience of my life. So she wanted me to regurgitate all of the inequities or difficulties or cruelties that I had faced. And she wanted to know what had been going on in the background of events when she was there. But by the time I'd come to the point where I was done, you know, I had processed that stuff and I didn't want to go through that again. But she needed to go through that again. And so we were sort of tussling with this. Mom, I don't want to talk about it. No, but what happened? No, but tell me again. You know, what was the moment? What was the time? What was the day? You know, because she needed this to make sense of it. It did not make sense to her because clearly we had worked quite successfully in presenting a front.
Did she think you should have stayed in the marriage?
I think she may have felt that I ought to have tried a bit longer initially, especially when it was quite difficult in those first, you know, first year and a bit. She certainly doesn't feel that way now. I think she's quite clear and sure that it was the right thing for me and for the kids. She was just trying to grasp, how did I not pick up on it? How did I not see?
So she felt responsible in a way.
I think perhaps she felt guilty too. We all did. We all felt really bad. Have we done enough? Did we do everything we could have done? which is why I stayed as long as I did. I needed to be really sure that I had no doubts about leaving, that leaving was absolutely the right thing to do for me and for my children.
I'm asking all the divorcees that I'm speaking to about whether there's a sense of guilt or failure because of the end of the marriage.
I felt that a lot towards the end of the marriage while I was still in the marriage. But once I knew that I had done everything I possibly can, I was able to put that down and let it be.
You said to me on the phone that you are really appreciating the simple things in life.
Yes.
Can you just talk to me a little bit about what you're enjoying now that you couldn't in the marriage?
The fact that it's Thursday, which means it's one more day to Friday and the weekend. And the weekend means all of your time is your own. You can plan your day and your day will go to plan. There won't be any sabotage. The person you've made plans with at 12 o'clock, they show up at 12 o'clock, not at 6 o'clock, not the following day at 3 p.m. So that chaos that I'd been dealing with, and that fear that, well, if they're not here, where are they? Who are they with? What are they doing with who they are with? I'm completely free of that, which means I can smell the roses.
You have started rowing, is that
right? Dragon boat racing.
We paddle, we don't row.
Got it.
It seems I was whinging at work about not having anything to do on a Saturday. And someone at work was a member of the club. And they said, we should come down and try it out. That was it. I was hooked.
2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah, it's taken over all of my thinking space in my mind now. It's all I want to do. Because I want to be better in the boat, I started going to the gym a bit more. I train, I don't know, 5 times a week, sometimes more. But it's all about being in the boat.
Have you always been quite athletic? And
not at all. I was very bookish, very soft in the middle, very rounded. Wanting to be better at this trumps everything. But then also what's come with this is a whole other community. My social life has therefore exploded.
Keep up the good tempo, come on!
You all talk boats.
All the time, because nobody else understands it and nobody else wants to.
I wouldn't say I've become obsessed with exercise after my divorce, but it's really important that I hit my exercise goals
yes.
of the week. And I wonder whether there is something about kind of getting your body back after marriage.
Oh, I completely agree. There's something.
I don't mean like getting your body back in terms of.
I mean, I wish I could.
Looking good, yeah. But just it's yours again.
It's mine again, exactly. Getting control over my body and being present in my body. You're right, it's yours again. You know, you're not sharing.
If you met your 44-year-old self, what advice would you give her about what was ahead in terms of the divorce?
Yeah, I mean, that girl did not know. I thought, you know, in June of that year, that by December I'll have moved out into another home and life would begin, you know, within 4 to 6 months. The first thing is that it's going to take longer than you think it will. But it will end. You know, it will end. It will be over. You do need to stay firm and strong. But it will end.
Was our reporter Henrietta Harrison speaking to Amina in our Life After Divorce series. Next week, a divorced father on his experience of moving to a new town and starting a new life in order to be able to share parenting with his ex-wife. This email has just arrived on my computer here. I listened to your contributor who left an unhappy marriage with tears this morning. I'm a 65-year-old man who left a 35-year relationship having stayed together for the children. I can attest that the kids were harmed by us staying together. One has poor mental health because of her parents' dysfunctional relationship and the other also struggles. Since leaving, it has become clear to me that everyone could see what I couldn't for so long. It's better to leave than to stay in an unhappy relationship. Thank you so much for getting in touch with us this morning. Also, lots of people getting in touch after I spoke to Anna, the teacher who's having to live with her parents because she says she's not earning enough money to afford rent or indeed a mortgage. It comes after the NASUWT, the teaching union, said that many teachers are having to turn to food banks or cut back on food because they can't afford to live in the way that they want to live because of the cost of living crisis. Mel has emailed to say, I'm a teaching assistant desperately trying to get onto a salaried primary teaching programme and it's proving almost impossible. I was listening to the interview with a primary teacher in Surrey who's underpaid and questioning her career. As a teaching assistant, I earn pittance, and even with a second job as a nanny or tutor during the holidays, we're still struggling to pay our bills, let alone think about holidays or savings. Things have to change if we want to keep people in these jobs that are so important for our society. Thank you so much for getting in touch. The text number is 84844 or it's at BBC Woman's Hour on social media.